The tabernacle found in every Catholic church houses the most holy Eucharist, who constantly gives himself to us as the bread of angels. To protect him from acts of sacrileges, the tabernacles are locked and secured. Imagine then the horror one would experience to find a tabernacle empty. This happened to the associate pastor of St. Michael in the country of Portugal. He was preparing to go and see someone who was sick, and upon opening the tabernacle, saw that the ciborium which held the Holy Eucharist was gone. Scandalized, he ran over to the pastor and explained the situation. Pastor accompanied him, and as they got to the tabernacle and opened it, the ciborium returned. Yet the pastor knew that his associate was not lying, for he himself had offered the last mass and knew very well where he had placed the ciborium, and it was in a different spot in the tabernacle than where it was when they saw it. Living in a poor town, they were well aware of how many consecrated hosts were in the tabernacle, and as they counted it, they found one that was missing. This mystery would remain for almost 20 years until the Bishop of Liria, in November of 1936, asked Sister Lucia to publish her memoirs concerning Fatima. The Church of St. Michael was only 10 miles away from there. During the third visit of the angel to Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, they joined the angel in offering the prayer, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee." Sister Lucia recounts, after we had repeated this prayer, I don't know how many times, we saw shining over us a strange light. We lifted our heads to see what was happening. The angel was holding in his left hand a chalice, and over it in the air was a host, from which drops of blood fell into the chalice. The angel leaves the chalice in the air, kneels near us, and tells us to repeat three times, "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences by which he is offended, and by the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners." After that, the angel rose, took again in his hand the chalice and the host. The host he gave to me, that was to Sister Lucia, and the contents of the chalice he gave to Jacinta and Francisco, saying at the same time, "Eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, terribly outraged by the ingratitude of men. Offer reparation for their sakes and console God." Once more, the angel bowed to the ground, repeating with us the same prayer to the Holy Trinity three times before he disappeared. The Holy Eucharist, whom we recognize as truly our Lord Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, did not come from the angel, nor did it come from the open heavens above. This is not, of course, to say that it was beyond God's ability to do so. God can do all things. It is, however, meant to share with us that this treasure of the Most Holy Eucharist that Jesus gives himself to us in is found truly present from the altar of sacrifice at the Holy Mass. The angel could not provide them with something that was more supernatural and divine. than what has already been gifted to man in the Holy Eucharist. And yet, how often has our love of Jesus in this blessed sacrament grown cold? The angel kneeling alongside the children in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament demonstrates how all of heaven and all of earth are required to kneel before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. This vision of angels have been recorded by various saints. Saint John Chrysostom, for example, expressed that when Mass is being celebrated, the sanctuary is filled with countless angels who adore the divine victim immolated on the altar. Some grow lax and do not make the effort to attend Holy Mass, yet we mustn't forget that our efforts, while others may not see them, do not go unnoticed by the holy angels. There was a poor farmer who attended Holy Mass every day for many, many years. At one time when he was crossing his snow-covered field, he thought he heard footsteps behind him. Turning around, he saw an angel who identified himself as his guardian angel, who held a basket of beautiful roses that exuded a very fragrant perfume. "See," said the angel, "these roses represent each step you have taken on the way to Mass. And each rose represents also a glorious reward that awaits you in heaven. But far, far greater are the merits you have acquired from the Mass itself." However, if some illness or some other serious reason prevents us from attending Holy Mass, we should employ the help of our guardian angel in our stead and offer this following prayer. "Go, my guardian angel dear, to church for me the Mass to hear. Go kneel devoutly at my place and treasure for me every grace. At the offertory time, please offer me to God divine all I have and all I am. Presented with the precious Lamb, adore for me the great oblation. Pray for all I hold most dear, be they far or be they near. Remember too my own dear dead, for whom Christ's precious blood was shed. At communion, bring spiritually to me Christ's flesh and blood, my food to be, to give me strength and holy grace, a pledge to see him face to face. And when the Holy Mass is done, then with his blessing, come back home." Close to us are our guardian angels who help us in our attention, our reverence, and devotion. This is why when we approach to receive our Lord Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we must do so with the most attention and respect and reverence. There is no greater gift than himself in the Holy Eucharist. Our posture and attention give testimony that we acknowledge that reality. Why else on this day of Corpus Christi is the holy sacrifice so important? Many of us long to receive love, a love that fulfills, a love that never fails, a love that never lacks. And in this world, as beautiful and as wonderful it is to have relationships with our spouse, our children, our loved ones, friends, we know that we all fall short. All we do is look at ourselves and know that our own shortcomings make our efforts to love fail. But here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we find ourselves intimately joined in the Holy Trinity. Deacon Tracy spoke last week about the reality of the love that is shared between the Father and the Son. And as this love is so pure and so perfect, we have the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. At the Holy Mass, we find ourselves in this same intimate exchange, where Jesus, yes, offers his life in obedience to the Father, but he does so primarily out of love. And not only love of the Father, but love of you and love of me. And in that sacrifice in which he offers to the Father and receives thus forth the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are not only transported to Calvary, we are transported into the very inner life of the Blessed Trinity, where the very love of God comes forth upon us, and the very grace in which we long for is fulfilled. Only our indifference to God, our lack of understanding, closes our hearts from that grace. In the tabernacles throughout the world houses the very presence of Jesus Christ, in whom angels cannot duplicate, and where even heaven itself cannot bring to us. On this feast of Corpus Christi, let us not forget this great gift that God has made accessible to us. He who has not only taken on flesh to be one like us in all things but sin, but has come to us as the bread of life, the bread of angels.